Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us this morning by your Holy Spirit. Please speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Do sit down. On behalf of all of us who are members of this church here, I'd like to begin by welcoming you very warmly indeed. If you are an international student and here for the first time today, if that is you, we want you to feel that you're among friends, even though you're a long way from home. And do please pass on our greetings to your families and communities and friends back home when you're able to do so. Now, here's a question for you. Do you want to know more about God? You've crossed the world to come to Newcastle to study, whatever your subject is. And no doubt, especially if you don't know Britain well, you're also interested to find out more about us and what we're like, how we live. But our experience is that many people who come here are also wanting to discover more about themselves and about the meaning of their own lives and about God. There's no doubt that getting away from your usual environment gives you a great opportunity to do that. And what we want to say to you is this: we have discovered not only how to know about God, but how to know him personally. It's a discovery that you can make as well. And we want to share with you what we've learned. Mind you, it's not a secret. It's all right here out in the open in this book, in the Bible. We believe with good reason that this is God's message to the world. Now, it's divided into lots of short books, and this morning I want to take a look together at one of the incidents that's recorded in here in the book of Acts. There are Bibles spread around in the pews around the church. Do please take one of those up, and you'll find this passage that we're looking at on page 1101. And I'm going to put the passage up on the screen as we go through as well. The title of my talk is Do You Understand? And if you want to make any notes, there's some space for that on the back of the service sheet. The reference of the passage is Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. And if you're not used to reading the Bible, let me just say that the 8 is the chapter, that's the large number, and then 26 to 40, those are the verse numbers, that's the small numbers. So it's Acts 8 from verse 26. And you can see that this passage is headed, Philip and the Ethiopian. It's about a man who was taken by surprise when he was on an international expedition and who found the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. And the truth is that you can also make that discovery for yourself. Now, as we work through what happened, I'd like you to look out for three good questions that this Ethiopian asks and three good moves that he makes. They are questions that we too need to ask and get answers to, and moves that we need to make in our own lives. I'm going to read through the passage section by section, and I'll keep pausing to explain what it means and why it's relevant to us. So this is how it begins. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." First thing to say is that Philip was a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus was the unique Son of God who had died and risen from the dead to be the Lord and the Saviour of the world. And those are very big claims, I know. But Philip was one of the men who knew that it was true and who was following Jesus, his risen Lord. Now notice something very important. It would be very easy to think that this is an account all about a man who is looking for God. But it's clear right from the start that actually it's the other way around. God is seeking this man, this Ethiopian, who we're about to meet. And the same is true in your life. If you don't yet know God through Jesus Christ, then God is seeking you. You may not realize that yet, but I believe that's why you're here this morning. And one other vital thing to see here is that the living God is a God who speaks. On this occasion, he sends a messenger, an angel. He speaks in different ways at different times. But that's how we can get to know God, by listening to what he has said to us. Let's move on. Verse 27. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now this is what God had planned all along. It was a divine appointment. God led Philip to this man. Who was he? Well, this is all we know about him. He was a powerful and influential African, a kind of minister of finance of Ethiopia from the region around the northern Nile. What about you? It may be that back home you are a person of some considerable status in your society. Or maybe you'd like to be, but you're not yet. Either way, God cares about you in the same way that he cared enough about this man to arrange for Philip to meet him on the road. So remember that you matter to God. God wants to be at the center of your life, whoever you are, and whether you consider yourself to be important or not. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, it says. He had gone on a long journey, many days of travelling. Admittedly, he didn't have to wait in airports or work his way through immigration. But like you, he was a long way from home. He'd been to Jerusalem among the Jews, where the culture was different and the religion was different, but that's what he wanted. The religion of his native Ethiopia must have left him dissatisfied and empty inside, knowing that he had not yet found the truth. He was at least beginning to understand that there was one true God, and he wanted to know him. And maybe in your heart of hearts, you realize that you're in the same situation yourself. And what is more, he had begun to read the Bible. Verse 28, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. He probably had to keep looking up to make sure he didn't get chariot sick as he bumped along through the inevitable potholes in the road. But this was his first good move that we need to copy. He was reading the Bible. If you want to know the one true God, that is the right thing to do. Now, he was reading from a scroll that maybe he'd bought from one of the tourist gift shops in central Jerusalem. It was the book of the prophet Isaiah, written about 700 years before. It's one of the books that's here in the Bible, so we can still read it today. And we heard a section of it read to us earlier on in this service. What is a prophet? A prophet is someone to whom God speaks and who then passes on God's message. So that helps us to understand what the Bible is and why, as Christians, it's central to our lives. The Bible is God's words spoken and written by men. No wonder it's so important that we read it. What happened next? The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Because the Bible is God's word, the key to knowing God is understanding the Bible. So Philip goes up to the Ethiopian and says to him, do you understand that? Knowing full well that he doesn't, at least not fully. But that prompts the first of the three good questions from the African. How can I, unless someone explains it to me? And he's right, we do need help understanding the Bible. If you go to it alone, it's very easy to get confused and to miss the point of what you're reading. So the Ethiopian asks Philip to help him. And that is his second good move. His first good move was to read the Bible. His second good move was to invite a follower of Jesus to explain the Bible to him. And we would like to invite you to invite us to help you understand the Bible, if you'd like to. It's your decision. We respect that. We won't pressurize you. But our offer remains open any time that you'd like to take us up on that. There are various different ways that we can help you understand the Bible here at Jesmond Parish Church. We've been hearing about some of them already earlier on in the service. Especially, there is that informal course that we run with international students in mind called Christianity Explored, for internationals and also for others as well. Do make sure that you have got copies of those leaflets about what is going on here for internationals. Now, Luke, who's writing this from eyewitness accounts that he has researched, tells us exactly what the Ethiopian was reading. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. It's a passage that comes from Isaiah chapter 53. And it's a prophecy about a man who suffers terribly. When you read the whole thing, it's clear that this man is suffering as the servant of God himself. God actually calls him my servant. He suffers innocently. He had neither deceived nor harmed anyone. He suffers silently, like a quiet lamb led to the slaughter without complaint. He suffers as a substitute. In other words, he died so that we all could escape death and find peace with God. That's what Isaiah says just before the bit that's quoted here, where Isaiah says he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. In other words, all of our wickedness and rebellion against God. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So in a strange way, he also suffers successfully, in the sense that the death of this servant of God was not a waste of a good life. It was full of purpose and meaning. Ultimately, it was God's plan for rescuing people from the judgment and the death that we deserve. Verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And that is the second excellent question that the African asks. Who is this? That's what we need to know, isn't it? If the death of this servant of God is so important to us, then who is he? Well, Philip immediately knew the answer to that, because Jesus himself had taught his disciples the key to understanding the Bible, the Scriptures. You can find what Jesus said, for example, in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 27. If you want to jot that down, you could look it up later on. That tells how, after Jesus rose from the dead, he told his disciples that the key to understanding the Bible is that it all points to Jesus himself, points to him. And Philip knew that this prophecy in Isaiah was all about Jesus. And Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told the Ethiopian, told him the good news about Jesus. The good news is that Jesus, who has been raised from the dead, is the suffering servant of God who brings forgiveness and eternal life to those who turn to him. Jesus himself sums up the good news in this way. This is John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And Peter, one of the men who knew Jesus best while he was on the earth, explained why his death by crucifixion was so important. He put it like this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. So how does Jesus call on us to respond to this good news? He calls us to repent, that is to turn away from our old way of life and back to God. And he calls us to believe in him, in Jesus, as our Lord and as our Saviour. And that's what we need to do. What did the Ethiopian do? Luke tells us, verse 36, as they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water, why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. So here is the third good question. Question one, how can I understand the Bible unless someone explains it to me? Question two, who is this Saviour? Question three, why shouldn't I be baptized? Presumably, Philip had explained to him the significance of baptism. Baptism is a sign of becoming a believer in Jesus. It's a sign of the forgiveness that he brings, of the gift of his Spirit to help us to live for him. It's a sign of joining the family of God, the church. And what happens next? Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And here is the African's best move of all. His first move was to read the Bible. His second good move was to invite someone to explain the Bible to him. And now his third good move is to cross the line from not being a believer to being a believer. And the way the Ethiopian signified that he'd begun to trust in Jesus as his Lord and as his Saviour was to be baptized. And you can do that too. Jesus told his disciples to baptize new believers. So if you are clear that you have become a believer in Jesus and you haven't yet been baptized, please take the next opportunity. And there will in fact be a service of adult baptism and renewal of baptismal vows here on Sunday evening, the 9th of November. And if you think it's time you were baptized, then please speak to me or another member of the staff here, and we can explain more about that to you. Finally, don't miss what happens at the end of this extraordinary and life-changing incident. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, although your situation is very different from this, there may be parallels. You may not be here for very long. The time will come soon enough when you return to your own country, and then you may not see the friends who've explained to you about Jesus again. But once you're a believer, you have a promise from Jesus that he will never leave you. He will always be with you. That's why this African went on his way rejoicing, and that's why we too can rejoice even when life is hard. Joy is one of those things that marks the lives of those who believe in Jesus. And what about Philip? Verse 40. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Philip just carried on explaining the good news wherever he was. And that's another mark of true believers. They tell others about Jesus. Jesus makes it abundantly clear that the good news about him has to be taken to the ends of the earth. There is no individual person, there is no nation on earth that does not need to hear about Jesus. We all need Jesus, whoever we are and wherever we're from. We're delighted that you are here in Newcastle, and we are confident that God brought you here for a purpose, either to get to know him through Jesus for the first time, or to get to know him better. Please make the most of the opportunity that is before you. Let's bow our heads to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know us and you care about us and you come to us in the purpose of your Son and you call us to yourself. Heavenly Father, help each one of us to know you better. Help us to love you more deeply and to learn to serve you more faithfully for the glory of Jesus. Amen.